Early voting numbers for next week's Supreme Court election are way down compared to 2025, and there aren't nearly as many political ads this year either. It's Tuesday, March 31st, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Thanks for being here to round out the month of March with us. Coming up on the show today, Milwaukee is suing an out-of-state landlord that the city says has hundreds of violations and owes thousands in taxes. And dairy farmers have bred cows to produce milk with more fat. The excess fat is now causing problems for some Wisconsin cheesemakers.
When the fat gets too high, we begin to lose body. And body is what a lot of our cheeses are founded on.
Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
The election for an open seat on the state Supreme Court is just 1 week away, but early voting is underway. And as Rich Kramer reports, far fewer absentee ballots have been returned this year than at the same point in last year's court contest.
So far, around 147,000 absentee ballots have been returned in the race between Liberal Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor and Conservative Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar. But at the same point in last year's Supreme Court race, that total was well over 250,000. University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Emeritus Political Science Professor Mordecai Lee says this race is different than last year's. Ideological control of the court is not up for grabs, and campaign ad spending is a fraction of what it was in 2025.
It could be that last year's race was just sort of the kind of Mount Everest of all Wisconsin Supreme Court races. And now we're back to normalcy.
In this sleepier election, Lee said he'd expect lower voter turnout. Last year, that number hit 50%, which set a record. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A bipartisan deal signed this month will release $125 million in state funding to address water contaminated by PFAS. But there remain a lot of questions about how the state will actually spend that money. William Casey Crump is chair of the Oneida County Town of Stella. It has some of the highest concentration of PFAS in the country. Crump told PBS Wisconsin's Here and Now that the agreement at the state capitol was an important milestone.
It was a relief, to be honest. It's been 3 years, roughly, I think, since those funds were originally talked about. And to have the Senate and the governor finally come to an agreement and get that stuff signed off on and get it out is the first of many steps yet to come, I think.
Crump says one key question is whether state funding will go to mostly municipal water utilities. He says the state should not forget about the needs of rural homeowners who rely on private wells. The city of Milwaukee is suing one of the area's most infamous landlords for tax delinquency and code violations. As Def Conquest Ware reports, officials filed the suit last week.
High Grove Holdings Management, also known as Residential Properties Resources, is based in Delaware. The company oversees 425 rental units, mostly on Milwaukee's north side, but only half were occupied as of January, the complaint alleges. The company promised to rehabilitate rental properties for investors. Instead, residents have been bombarded with unkempt grass, scattered trash, and unshoveled sidewalks during winter months. Since 2017, there have been over 4,000 code violations, according to the Milwaukee Property Ownership Network Project. The city is asking the court to appoint a receiver. High Grove Holdings did not immediately respond to WPR's request for comment. Steph Conquest Ware, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Governor Tony Evers has vetoed legislation that would have required Wisconsin to opt in to a new federal program promoting donations to scholarships. Evers says the program is a way to expand school vouchers. That program was included in the Big Beautiful Bill. It is not a direct voucher. Instead, it will operate as a federal tax credit, allowing people to receive up to $1,700 in credits for donating to a nonprofit scholarship-granting organization. Those groups can then distribute the money. Corey Brewer is an attorney with the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. She says the credit also benefits public school children.
The funds can be used for tutoring, curriculum, transportation, technology, special needs therapies, and more.
In his veto message, Evers said the federal program does not have any academic oversight to justify giving away taxpayer dollars. Wisconsin's population growth slowed last year. As Joe Schultz reports, that's after international migration to the state was cut by more than half.
More than 18,000 people moved to Wisconsin from other countries each year from 2022 through 2024. That's according to data from the U.S. Census Bureau. But census data show that number fell to around 7,200 in 2025. David Egan Robertson is with the Applied Population Lab at UW-Madison.
I think it's mostly traceable to the change from the Biden to the Trump administration. International migration is controlled at the national level.
Census data show the state's population growth declined by around 11,000 between 2024 and 2025. Wisconsin also continues to have an aging population with relatively low birth rates. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, how the rise of high-fat milk is affecting other parts of Wisconsin's dairy industry. Stay with us.
My name is Martin Anderson. I'm the owner with my husband.
Edgar Anderson, co-owner of Fergorn Isle.
On Washington Island.
Ever since we've been using WPR, it's proven to be the right choice, especially when we asked our customers, how did you hear about us? Always has been, we heard that on the radio, and that's why we continue to use WPR as a sponsorship program.
Connect with Wisconsin and grow your business. Visit WPR.org/sponsor.
And finally, for years, the dairy industry has pushed farmers to produce milk with more fat, which is turned into products like butter and ice cream. But as Hope Kerwin reports, the high fat content is starting to create problems for Wisconsin's cheesemakers.
Advancements in breeding over the last decade mean today's dairy cows produce fattier milk and more of it. That has traditionally been a good thing. Processors need the fat to make dairy products, so they pay farmers more for it. But excessive levels of fat are not good for making certain styles of cheese like cheddar and Colby, according to master cheesemaker Ken Hyman from Naysonville Dairy. He spoke with WPR's Wisconsin Today.
When the fat gets too high, we begin to lose body. And body is what a lot of our cheeses are founded on.
Hyman's company recently spent over $1 million installing new cream separators to lower the fat content of their milk before it's turned into cheese. He says the industry now needs to focus on breeding for a higher protein level in milk to create a better balance between the two components. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. A winter weather advisory in effect in very northern Wisconsin until about 1 this afternoon. The rest of this day, we'll see a mix of sunshine and clouds with a good chance for rain today. Highs topping out in the 40s in the north and 60s in the south. Overnight, still cloudy and cold with lows in the 20s and 30s. And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Glad you could be here. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.